lovelies. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Lottie of the Sacred Cocoon. So today, what I thought I would do is to talk a little bit about spirit guides. So spirit guides form a really big part of my work, a really big part of my practice, and specifically working with spirit guides. And one of my most popular services, one of my most popular readings, is my Connect with Your Spirit Guides reading, in which I connect with your spirit guides. It does what it says on the tin. But in seriousness, what I do in that reading is to kind of bring through a spirit guide that is working with my client at that particular time. Introduce them, so give information about what they look like, what kind of guide they are, their name. Sometimes guides won't give me a name if they're kind of cheeky, or some guides really only like to give their name to the person that they're working with, and in that case sometimes they give me what I think of as like a code name. So it's like a name that you can use for them until they give you their specific name. This is quite common too in pagan practice, and specifically with magical names. There's all different kinds of beliefs on magical names, but one would be that we are supposed to keep our magical name to ourselves, and then with our, patron or patroness, deity, whatever, but it's like it's a name that we don't really share with other people. And so guides can be a little bit like that too, where they only like to share their name, their specific name, with the person that they're working with. But anyway, and then I also go through what I call the areas of focus or areas of expertise. So that's like what the guide is particularly good at, what they've spent a lot of time doing, what they've focused on, and so therefore what they can help us with, what they are with us for, you know, what they're working on with us. And then I also like to look at how to connect with them. So that brings in like some guides like us to have a specific space where we have things dedicated to them or for them, or that make us think of them. Some guides like us to do certain things with them. For example, I have an altar in my house, and one of my guides likes to be part of my altar. So I have things on there for her or that remind me of her. Other guides like us, you know, they're particularly attached to nature, so they like when we go outside and do gardening or something like that. There's all these different ways to connect with them. And then I also look at how we can kind of tap into their energy in the world, and how we can use that energy and channel a little bit more of that energy. With all that said, I get asked a lot what a spirit guide actually is. And you know, of course, like everything in this podcast, and like everything that I share, it's just my experience, my opinions, my way of seeing things. You definitely don't have to agree with me, and that's completely fine. But yeah, I obviously can only share from my point of view. So yeah. So what is a spirit guide? So in my understanding, in my experience, a spirit guide is a being who is with us in spirit to help us. So that means that they are crossed over or have never been on Earth, depending on what kind of guide they are. And they are dedicated to helping us, to being a guide for us. So we can have all different kinds of guides. There's different types of guides. So they're not all human, they're not all they're not all anything. there's so many different types of guides, and they all help us with different things. And I believe that we have what I call a spirit guide team, which just means that I don't think that people have just one guide. I think that we have multiple guides. There are certain guides who are with us for our whole lives. There's certain ones that come in and out. There's some that join us, you know, in our, at some point in our life, and then they stay for the rest of it. Like, they all kind of go, it's kind of flowy, I guess. but yeah, that everyone has a spirit guide team, and then that team will work together and also work with us to help us with whatever they are with us for. So I believe that before we incarnate into our specific lifetimes, we have a meeting with our guides to basically discuss, like, who's going to help us with, what are they going to help us, what goals do we have, what things do we want to achieve. And they don't necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily like, I want to write a book. like, it can be that, but it doesn't have to be anything really specific. It can be more like, I want to pursue this particular quality in this lifetime, or I want to improve this quality, I want to work on this. So, like, if we've had lifetimes where we've been really shy, one of the things we could work on with our guides is, I want to work on being more outgoing in this lifetime. I want to work on my connections with other people if we've been on our own a lot. I want to be more creative if you've been kind of very, I don't know, I think everyone's creative. That's probably not a good example. But yeah, basically we can work on things that we haven't done, or if there's certain things that we have done. like, if we've been, I'm taking an example from myself here, but in past lives, if we've been someone who was always kind of off doing their own thing, and tended to you know, be a bit of a lone wolf, then that's probably a pattern that we are still carrying. And so it can be like, I want to learn to work with other people. I want to learn to be able to trust other people. I want to learn to kind of let my walls down, you know, whatever. and different guides will help us with different things. So then there's also different types of guides, like I said. So some of the ones that I have had experience with are human guides, which I define as any guide who has had a human lifetime, at least one. Most guides have had multiple lifetimes, that they are still taking like a human form of some kind, so they still look human. There's animal guides, so animal guides are interesting because they might have always been an animal, but they might have been a person and then decide to take an animal form as a guide. So one of my guides who I talk about a lot online, so a lot of people probably know of her, is Bianca. And Bianca likes to appear as a bear. However, she is not a completely animal guide in the sense that she has been human in lifetime. She just prefers to appear as an animal now. So there's that. Then there's angelic guides, which I think of as archangels, or God, you know, some people think of a guide as like a guardian angel, they come into that. Angels or angelic guides I define as beings that have not incarnated, so they haven't been on Earth. That's my particular understanding of it. Again, there's, you know, some people might think differently than that, and that's fine, but that's my experience. We also have ancestors, who I define differently than just a human guide, because our human guides can be really anyone. They don't have to have been related to us in any way. We don't have to share like a past life relation, you know, like a blood relation to them or anything like that. They can be, but it's kind of like neither here nor there. It's not particularly important to the relationship. Whereas the ancestors have been blood relations to us, either in this lifetime, which is the most common connection that I find, and also the one that people are most interested in, so that probably makes sense of why that is, or a past life relation. But yeah, usually they're in this lifetime of relation. So, for example, two of my guides that I work with, who are ancestor guides, would be my Nana and my granddad. But there's, you know, all sorts of people, all sorts of family connections that they can count as an ancestor. I find that the interesting thing with ancestors is they tend to have this really specific way of viewing us that makes their guidance slightly different than like a guide who isn't related to us in any way. So every time I've connected with an ancestor guide, they give me this feeling of like, we are the culmination of their line, or we are the living manifestation of their line. So that just means like everything that has been created through our bloodline, everything that has been passed down through family from the dawn of time is manifest in us. We are currently living, so we're currently able to, you know, be in the body and have the human experience of that line. And so they're very much focused on helping us to like be the best version of ourselves that we can, get past any obstacles that we have. They can also be really helpful in healing like family trauma, passed down patterns, that kind of thing, which, you know, regular human guides can do that too. They can help us with really whatever we want them to, but ancestors tend to be really specifically focused on that. So it's like, what can we release, what can we bring in, how can we heal things, how can we like be the best that we can. And all that said, there's no judgment, but I'm gonna get into this because this is a typical thing of guides, is no judgment. So what else is there? There are also guides who are what I think of as like planetary guides, or like cosmic kind of guides, and they to me are guides who are really, really big. They're like huge. Whenever I meet a guide like this, it's like their energy is just so expansive, and they tend to manifest as like really like cosmic kind of ideas. So I've had some guides that give me an image of like almost like a black hole. if you try when you try and wrap your head around like how big a black hole is, or what a black hole is, like even talking about it, I'm like blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so there's some guides that are like that, or they'll show me an image of like a planet or a star or just something huge like that. So like their energy is so big. And they, for one, that I don't come across them super often, but their themes tend to be usually more on like the nature of things, or they can be kind of philosophical. They can also look at like more quantum types of things, I guess. And they're also very interested in time a lot of the time. So there's that kind of guide. There's also guides who work with like multiple people, and I tend to put things like ascended masters in that group, because we can have a personal connection to an ascended master for definite. Like my wife and I work with Mother Mary a lot, who is considered to be one of the ascended masters. But I know for a fact that Mary doesn't just work with us. You know, she's a huge energy that can work with like every single person. They're not like a personal guide, but they have a personal connection with us. So that to me is another type of guide. And then there's other guides who are a little bit hard to categorize, and they tend to show up as like light, or they're kind of like indistinct, like they don't really have a form, they're not attached to any kind of physical form. So they might show up as light, they might show up as like fuzzy kind of like a soft texture, or like they're kind of hard to describe, but they just don't have a physical form. And this could be a name thing too, because that gets a little I don't know the word. It's interesting. It's that certain guides don't have any particular attachment to a physical form. They don't have a way that they look. So they don't have a name. It's like they don't really think of themselves in terms of a name, or they'll have a sort of what I call an energetic signature, which shows you that that is that specific guide, but they're not attached to a specific name. So if you've ever had a guide reading with me, you probably have had some experience of me trying to describe this before, because there's lots to it. But ultimately, the thing with guides that I always want to get across, and this is why I'm going to talk about the not judgment thing, no judgment, is that guides want to help us. They are with us to help us. And the way that guides feel about us is, like, imagine, like, the best friend that you could ever have, and who loves you just with their whole entire heart and so unconditionally, and they will always help you no matter what. They will love you no matter what. That is a guide. Guides are not judgmental. They do not judge us. They do not get angry with us. They do not get upset with us, any of that. And this is something that you can probably hear in my voice as I'm getting a little incensed. This is something that really bothers me about some things that I hear about guides, because I think this gives people the wrong idea of what a guide is, and it makes people scared to work with guides. And basically the thing that really bugs me is there being any idea or concept of, like, your guide being disappointed in you, they're mad with you, they really they don't want you to have something, they don't want you to do something, you know, that being like, I don't know, it just feels really weird to me. And it's just, in my experience, it's never been true. Like, guides just don't have that kind of feeling. It doesn't make sense. Like, guides want to help us to be the best that we can, but they are also very much dedicated to free will. Like, and this, all guides are very strict about free will. They will not make choices for us. They will not tell us what to do. That's our choice. Our choices are integral to being on Earth. They're important to being on Earth. So they won't do that. They won't do anything that will, like, encroach on our choice and our free will. And so by that kind of inference, they're not angry with us. They're not disappointed. They're not upset with us if we choose to do something that is not what, you know, what might be, like, what they would suggest. So, for example, you know, if we're like, oh, I really need to get a job. So our guide shows us, well, here's an opportunity to get a job. There's a job fair going on. And then we decide not to go. That's our choice. Our guide is not going to be angry with us. They're not mad with us. They're not upset with us that we didn't go. Like, it was an opportunity for sure, but the fact that we chose not to go, that was our choice. They don't hold our choices against us. Like, guides, that's not their job. Like, to me, they're not really even like a moral compass, because to be like a moral compass, it would be like, oh, this is a good thing to do, this is a bad thing, you should do this, you shouldn't do this. Like, that's not their job. Their job is basically just to try and help us to have the best life that we can, and the most joy that we can, and the best shared experience of love with others that we can. And so they do everything they can to help us with that, but ultimately, you know, if we don't choose one path, then we go down another path. If we don't make one choice, we make another choice. And so they just keep moving with us and help us. Like, to me, the idea of a guide being mad about something sort of suggests that they hold on to things. They, like, hold a grudge about something, and that it's not logical to me. Like, they just don't do that, because what's the point? There's no point. Like, you know, if my guy like holds on to something that I did 5 years ago and it's like, well, I'm not going to help you anymore because you did this thing 5 years ago, like they're not doing their job. They're not doing what they like signed on for and what they want to do, which is to help us in the moment and to yeah, basically just help us. you can't unconditionally be fully present if you're holding on to something, you know, like about that someone did like 5 years ago, then that would infer judgment of some kind, and again, guides don't have that kind of feeling towards us. Like, guides love us, and I mean that completely unconditionally. They are with us through everything. They are our team. They're supporting us. So they just don't have that kind of judgment. And so, where did I want to go from there? I got like really involved there. Yeah, so that's what a guide is. which I think it can be a little bit like intimidating and scary when people like think really deeply about it, because it's like, oh my god, there's, you know, all these beings with me and they're watching me or whatever. Like, it's hard to describe, but it's not like that. Like, our guides are with us, but they're, I think that comes back to the judgment thing. It's like, they're with us, but they're not judging us on anything that we do, you know. It's like that we're not being, I think the idea of being watched is that we're also being judged. and that's not happening with guides. So then, okay, here's something that I want to talk about then, which is that guides have a specific energy. Not every spirit, not every person in spirit is a guide or really has the wherewithal to be a guide. So what I would describe as a guide is someone who has experience and is able to, they're able to lead like that. That they're able to guide and be non-judgmental and be unconditional. And not everyone can do that yet, you know? and that's okay. Like, everyone is learning, but that just means that not everyone is really able to be a guide, like, straight away, in spirit, because they're still learning. They're still learning to let go of things. And so that's an important thing to know about guides, is if you have someone, some kind of spirit that is trying to come through to you and claims to be a guide, but they are displaying some kind of judgment, some kind of wanting to make sure you do this, wanting to make sure you don't do that, you know, any kind of like trying to decide for you, trying to influence a course or direction, if they are, you know, mean about something, whether it's you or someone else, if there's anything like that, they are not what some people would call a high quality guide. I would just say they're not a guide. And that doesn't mean that necessarily you're connected to anything bad or, you know, it's not evil. It just means that they're not ready to be a guide yet. And so you need to go higher than that. You need to connect with someone who is a guide. and so I think I want to also talk about ways that we can connect with our guides and what I do to connect with each person's guide, because it's, like I said, it's one of my most popular things. I work with guides every day, and so it's important to know how to connect with a guide, a good quality guide, and how to kind of work with that. But what I'm going to do right now is we're going to go to the ad break, and then when we come back, I will talk about that. We're back. So now we're gonna look at how to connect with guides, how to connect with your spirit guide, and then I'm gonna suggest some fun ways to connect with them and also be able to have a kind of conversation with them. have a back and forth with them. Because I find that's the best way to really, like, work with our guides, is to have a way to communicate with them and to receive communication from them. Which, you know, if you can hear things, if you can see things and all of that, and or you find that easy, that's great. But if you find that difficult, if you're just learning, if you, you know, for whatever reason don't connect with those kind of things, it can feel like it's difficult to get information from them or to have a conversation with them. But let's not put the horse before the cart. I'm going to get into, first of all, how to connect with them and connect with them safely. So, like I said before, not every spirit is a guide or can be a guide at the specific point that you're communicating with them. And just like any kind of spirit communication, it is extremely important to be safe in how you connect with them. There's all kinds of things that can go on with spirit that can be scary to people and can then scare people off, like, ever wanting to connect with spirit, which makes me sad because there's so much good that can come from connecting with spirit. But if we don't do it safely, we can kind of get connected with people that we don't want to be connected with, who are, you know, mischievous, who are interested in scaring us, that kind of thing, and we don't want that. So it's really easy to not connect with that once you just know how to do it. So what I like to do is, when I'm connecting with my guides, when I'm connecting with anyone, if I'm connecting with spirit, is I like to say what you could call a little prayer first, or a little opening. It opens the session. It just makes sure it's safe. So basically what I say is, I would like to connect with my spirit guides, my guides in spirit who are in the light and who are the best guide for me to connect with at this time. And I ask that only guides who are experienced enough be able to connect with me, and any beings who are not crossed over, who are not in the light, cannot come through. They cannot connect with me. I'm not open to them. I am only open to beings in the light and to guides in the light. And that's it. That's all you need to say to start off the communication, the conversation. And you can say that out loud, you can say it in your head, whatever. But it's important to open with that, just to give that clarity of, like, who you're connecting with and who you're not and what your boundaries are. I can't remember if I've talked about this in another episode, but our boundaries are extremely important, and that's what keeps us safe, is having those good energetic boundaries and being able to say, this is who I want to connect with, this is who I want to communicate with, and this is who I, that's it, they're the only ones. And it just, that just means you're not opening up to just, you know, everything and everyone, you're not that little beacon just flashing away. And I do that when I want to connect with my guides, and also when I'm connecting with other people's guides. So I wouldn't try to connect with other people's guides without connecting with yours first, or without especially, like, learning how to have a back and forth with your guides, because your guides will help you and everything else. So, like, being able to have a good, strong connection with your guides, knowing who your guides are, how they show up to you, things like that, will then help you if you decide that you want to connect with other people's guides for some reason, like if you're a reader or a healer or, you know, whatever. So, you know, make the connection with your guides first, then, you know, reach out to other people's guides if you're interested in. The thing with other people's guides is they're not there for you, which doesn't mean that they will be rude to you or that they won't be, you know, courteous or whatever, but essentially they're not there for you, and what they are dealing with might not be any of your business. And I'm saying that just to say, you know, don't try and snoop on other people by trying to connect with their guides, because it's not going to work, and their guides are not going to be down with it, and they're not going to do it. That's just, always stay looking towards yourself and you know, working with yourself. I think you can definitely connect with other people's guides. I mean, I do it every day. But you've got to have the right reason. It can't be out of your self-interest of trying to get something from that. It's got to be about helping that other person. It's a service. It's not just like, I'm going to pick up the phone and just listen in. So I feel like my guides were telling me to say that, so it's important to know that. So now that we've got this safe, open, you know, safe connection with our guides, how do we get more information about them? How do we find out more about them? And this will depend on your guide. So they all kind of communicate in different ways, and specifically they will communicate to us in a way usually that we find the easiest. So for example, if you are feel connected with like clairvoyance, they will maybe show you images, or even if you have, you know, a really strong imagination and really you're good at visualizing things, they will, you know, maybe show you images. If you hear things really well, if you have clairaudience, or you, I don't know how else to describe clairaudience, but they might communicate through that. They might communicate through claircognizance, which I call downloads. So that's just like, you'll get information in your head, and it kind of just feels like it suddenly, you just know something, or like it's a thought. They might communicate through like the outside world, the physical world. So a lot of people, when they're connecting with guides, want to see some kind of physical outer manifestation of it. Either it's because they find that easier to understand or be able to comprehend, or it's less scary. So certain guides will just do this with, that's a way they communicate. Like Bianca, she'll show up physically as so Bianca, one of my guides, she, like I said before, she shows up as a bear, but she actually likes to just show up as anything with a B. So bees for one, bluebirds, there's all sorts of different ones that she'll kind of show up as, but those are her three main ones: bear, bluebird, and bee, and butterfly, so four. So for example, if I'm like communicating with her, if I'm asking her something and then I see a butterfly just suddenly like flies into my vision, either in my head or when I'm outside, I take that as it feels like that's her communicating something to me. And some guides will do that, especially if we ask them to do that, they will do it because they want to make themselves as easy for us to understand as possible. They also do not want to scare us, which is another thing that I wanted to say before and I forgot about, you know, knowing if a guide is good quality is how they communicate and how conscientious they are in their communication. Like, guides do not want to scare you, which doesn't mean that a communication with them might not be scary, but just that isn't their intention. So I say that because I've known people who have seen their guides like in their head or something, and it's freaked them out because their guide hasn't shown up in that way before. And it's not because they look scary necessarily, it's just because they're not used to seeing it like that. And if that happens and your guide, you know, freaks you out or scares you, it's, for one, it's always going to be unintentional. They do not intend to scare you, and for two, they will not do it again. They will not communicate with you in that way that frightened you before. They will find another way. So if you have any kind of spirit that is either showing up to you in a way that is scary, that they seem like they're trying to be scary, or they did something that scared you, you asked them not to do it again, you told them you were freaked out, whatever, and they do it again, that is not a guide. That is not a good quality guide. So, with all that said, what else can they do? They can use songs. So, like, you are in the car and you're thinking about something, and then you hear a song and the lyrics answer your question. They make sense of the situation. They can communicate like that. Another way that's really fun to communicate with guides is through divination. So, for example, a way that I usually do it is through cards, because I'm primarily a card reader. So I might use tarot, I might use oracle. I like to combine them, which I'm going to talk about in another episode at some point. But that can be a really great way to communicate with them because it's really clear. So, for example, you know, if I'm working with Bianca and I ask her, what do I need to focus on today? What would be a good thing for me to focus on? And I pull a tarot card and she gives me the, I don't know. What should I fix on today? She is showing me the Emperor. So, yeah, that's what I should focus on today. So then you can read into that and you can use the knowledge of tarot to kind of, like, know what they're directing you towards or what they're talking about. And it also, for some reason, just makes it easier to start, like, picking up their personality. So I don't know how to describe this really, other than to say it's kind of like when you talk to a specific person, the way that they say things also has their personality attached to it. So for example, when Bianca showed me the Emperor, I could hear her like laughing, and she's very cheeky and very playful. So I could hear that, you know, in her communication. Is that she was basically saying to me, you need to, you know, this is what you're doing right now, making this podcast, and you need to, you know, do that, focus on that work, that's good work. She's saying, oh, it's good to be, you know, doing this episode, and to focus on, you know, what do we think of when we think of the Emperor? I think of structure, I think of the work, I think of service to other people, so that's why I'm making the podcast. So then it kind of comes back around to, she's basically verifying or saying, good job, you're doing a good thing. So then you can, you know, if you can pull as many cards as you want, I would say don't pull like too many, because then it can get confusing. You want to stay on the particular subject that they're giving you, or the particular message that they're giving you, so that you don't confuse yourself. Because, you know, if I, in one reading, say to her, what's a good thing for me to focus on, and then she gives me the Emperor, and then I maybe can ask, you know, off that, okay, well, what's a good way to focus on that? What energy can I bring into focusing on that? What maybe might be a distraction from that? You know, and let me think of some examples for that. So, like, what might be a good way to harness the Emperor energy? You could get the Ace of Wands, which is, you know, that creative potential, tapping into that creativity, using that fire, using that inspiration, the things that come through to you, maybe. What could be a distraction from that? And you might get the Four of Swords. You know, don't go take a nap. Do the work, just kind of don't get off on a tangent and then go do something else and then go to sleep and then forget about it. Like, that's a really simple example, but, like, that's what she's given me. In that reading, I don't then want to turn around and say, okay, well, what should I do tomorrow? Like, what would be a good thing to do tomorrow? Because it can just get confusing in terms of, you might not know, like, what card or what communication is relevant to today or what's relevant to tomorrow. You know, like, she might give me, you know, well, what would be something good to focus on for tomorrow? And she might give me, like, the Ten of Cups or something. And then, you know, well, what attitude should I try and focus on tomorrow? Like, what should I not focus on tomorrow? Whatever. I think the clearer your communication and connection with your guide is, and the more you know them, the less hard it is to do that. But I'm really aiming at if you're just starting with your guides here or you're wanting to work with them more. So, yeah, if you want to do a reading about, you know, tomorrow, whatever, I would usually suggest just leave it till the day, but at least split the readings up. Like, just give them some space to themselves so that they're not confusing. What else is a good way to work with guides? Art, creativity. So, I like to work with my guides when I'm painting, and ask them to, like, show me things or help me, figure out, like, what is this painting? What am I doing? what do I want to paint? Give me an idea. Give me, like, some suggestions on what would be good. That's what my, spirit guide paintings are. If you've seen them, they're like the little animals that I'm doing. Mostly they've been bears so far because of Bianca. What else? Like, sometimes they'll give me like a subject to think about and then I'll kind of express that in some way. So I do a lot of abstract work. So they'll give me like maybe a thought to focus on, and then I choose colors based on that or whatever. You can write a story about your guides. You can, you know, do whatever. They might encourage you to go outside, go take a walk around. If you're feeling, you know, anxious or something, like, oh yeah, let's get outside, or let's go sit in the grass. Get out in nature. I think I'm just using examples that my guides tend to tell me here. Everyone's guides are different in what they'll suggest for us, because obviously everyone is different. But yeah, it's always going to be something to be helpful. So where was I going with that? I got on a tangent. Oh yeah. So, you know, if it's like they're encouraging me to go outside, then I might go outside and I might see the animals that, for example, one of my guides, you know, that Bianca connects with, or I might just feel closer to them when I'm working with things. They might show me things. One thing that my guides like to do is show me things. So, like, I'll be walking around and I'll be just kind of not have my mind focused on anything really, and then that allows them to show me things. So, and then they can give me messages through those things. So, for example, they might show me, oh, that's that, look at this teeny tiny little flower that you might not have noticed if you were, you know, worrying about something. And then what does that flower make you think about? And then I get messages like that. So there's so many ways to work with guides. It's really, it's just, there's so many ways. I think it's really down to what you can think of, you know, your imagination. And imagination and our mind is such a good way to connect with guides anyway, because that's like the part of us that can bypass our judgments about things and also bypass our fears, and so it's easier to communicate with them. So then what are some things that you, I'm trying to think of a way to say this. Okay, so here's the thing. With guides, there is nothing that you have to do to connect with them. Like, you don't have to have a special thing for them. You don't have to have anything for them. You don't have to do anything specific. Like, there's certain things that they might like, but again, a guide is not going to tell you, like, I'm only going to work with you if you go buy this, like, obsidian unicorn and you put it, like, where you can always see it and blah blah blah. Like, they're not gonna do that. Because again, that's like an ego thing, and guides just, like, do not have ego like that. So, you know, you might find, and why am I thinking of an obsidian unicorn? I've never seen an obsidian unicorn anywhere. But anyway, so you might go to a store and see this obsidian unicorn and think, oh my god, that really makes me think of Barry, my unicorn guide. And so you buy it and you put it on your altar, and every time you think of it, every time you see it, you think of Barry, your unicorn guide. So that's a way you can work with guides, and a way that they some guides really do like that, and it's not because it's anything to do with, like, making them feel good and fancy or whatever. It's because it makes it easier for you to connect with them. So, you know, if you have that obsidian unicorn, it makes you think of Barry, your unicorn guide, then yeah, every time you want to connect with Barry, you might, what the heck, I see it's a bee name, that's Bianca messing around. Barry. So every time you want to connect with Barry, you can hold that unicorn in your hand. You feel like a tactile sensation that helps connect with them. Every time you think about that obsidian unicorn, you think of that guide, it helps you connect with them. So anything that guides kind of like us to do or to have, whatever, it's not a prerequisite to working with us. Like, they're not going to not work with us if we don't have that thing, or, you know, whatever. It's because it can make it easier for us to connect with them. And sometimes they'll do this, like, a little scavenger hunt as well, and see if you can find, like, it's a way that you can kind of show yourself that you can hear them, or you can connect with them, which can build our confidence in them. So, for example, Bianca has done this with me a couple of times, where I'll go into a place and she'll tell me, there's a specific thing here, go find it. So, for example, I went into like a resale shop once and I heard the word bluebird. So I was looking around and then I saw a little bluebird statue and it was like 50 cents. So I bought it because for one, it was really cute. For two, it was a thing from Bianca. She had told me when I walked into that room, there's a bluebird, like go find it. And again, I went to a spirit fair one time. I heard there's a bear in here. There's a bear. Go find the bear. She didn't tell me where it was. She didn't tell me what it was. She just told me there's a bear in here. so I went looking around the stalls. I found a septarian carved bear. So I bought it because it made me think of her. Like, there was a connection with her. She had told me it was there. I found it. It was like a confirmation. I didn't need it, but it was fun. and they can do that with anything, you know. It's like they can show, they might tell you something. You might hear them. You might see something from them. There's this thing here that might show you a metaphor. Guides, in my experience, work a lot through metaphors as well. There's all these different things that you can do with them to help build that connection with them. And so I think that's going to be it, because this is going to be like 40 minutes long. because I waffled. I'm just really passionate about this. Before I go, I want to do a little plug here, a little self-plug. I not only do spirit guide readings, connect with your spirit guides, which you can find in my Etsy shop. I also do spirit guide portraits, which is something that I love doing. It is basically an intuitively created collage of your guide. So the way that I do that is I connect with your guide, or because we all have multiple guides, I choose one guide to connect with, who is working with you the most at the moment. They have the strongest message for you, whatever. And then I find images and I create a collage based on that guide. So what they look like, their symbols, what they choose to like use to show you things. And there's also an option to have a written reading with that guide too, where I write down the information that I get from them. So that's like their name, their symbols, what they're working with you on, things like that. You can also find that in my Etsy shop as well, if you're interested in having like a portrait of your guide. I love doing this. It's super fun. I find it to be a really good way to connect with guides, because you get an image, you get to see what they look like. I've had clients who have had these portraits, give them as gifts to friends, print them out and have them in their, you know, on their altar, in their bedroom, in their living room, whatever. I find it a really useful thing to have, and so I love doing it for other people too. So you can find both of those things at my Etsy shop as well, which is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com, or just go on Etsy, search for The Sacred Cocoon, and it'll come up as a shop, and that's how you find me. Or you can do it through Instagram. We can do like private transaction, like private, you know, PayPal or Venmo, whatever. And that is also The Sacred Cocoon. So that's on Instagram at The Sacred Cocoon, or on Facebook, also The Sacred Cocoon. I don't use Facebook very much, but if you send me a message through my work page, which is The Sacred Cocoon, I will see it and I will reply. So that's the best way to do that on Facebook. I just don't like Facebook. Instagram is where it's at for me. But yeah, so I hope that was helpful. Hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed recording this and getting to talk about it. And I'm sending you so much love. I'm trying to do these podcasts once a week, so I don't just get overloaded. I did do another episode within like that same first week, but I'm trying to be a little bit more strict with myself to not overdo it. So I'm trying to do these on Tuesdays and release them, or at least release them on Tuesdays. So the next one should be up next Tuesday. All right, sending you so much love. Bye now.